You're turning your Bibles to Luke 12, 42 to 48. That's where I'll be reading. Luke 12, 42 to 48. The Lord answered, "Who then is faithful and wise manager, whom the manager puts in charge of his servants to give them their food and allowance at this proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so. When he returns, I will tell you the truth. He will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day that he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master will, his will, and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants, will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one that he has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked."
Thank you, Bud. We're glad you're back tonight. I was wondering if we were going to make 100 this morning. But we had some visitors. In fact, we had some visitors that remember a young Larry Scarth that had just come out of preaching school. There was a family that was with us this morning, the Dunnigans, Brian Dunnigan and his wife, and their, I think, is it three daughters or four? Three. They were visiting with us. I knew they were sitting back there about where Grady is sitting tonight, but I couldn't tell who it was from where I was standing up here. But when I got closer, it clicked in, and oh, I know that guy. Why do you do what you do? I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about good things. You know, there are some people, some ladies, that we don't have to wonder if communion is going to be set out on the Lord's Day. Why do they do what they do? Or the fact that there are some cards that will be set out there on the secret sister table to be signed, and there will be those that sign them, and the card will be sealed and will be sent. Or a phone call will be made. Or there are those men like Grady who love to preach, fill in, teach, and he works very hard at East Waterman over there with the brethren. Why does he do that? Or Larry and Johnny, who travel out to Derby Health and Rehab and see Dean and Franny, and then stop in and see my mother and Becky and several others, Carol Wright, people that do that. Or some of you men who have helped shorten these pews and who have helped paint. And I remember a long time ago when we had two very tiny restrooms and Joe Gonzalez and I got busy. I can't remember if we used a chainsaw to take out those walls, but whatever it was fun. Or JL, you know, working back here in this kitchenette back here. Why do we do what we do? Or all this group of ladies that goes over to do bingo for people like my mother, or that sing with a choir here in Derby. Well, we do things like that because to whom much is given, much is expected. When God blesses us with the talents and the experience, guess what He anticipates? He anticipates that we're going to use those, that somehow we're going to find a niche and we're going to be responsible. This sermon is entitled "Much More." And there are times we think, well, we can't give any more But you know what? And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about our talents and abilities. But you know what? There are doors that God opens where all of a sudden, if we're using what we should be using, we're becoming more and more fruitful. Just three very simple things tonight. I want to, first of all, talk about privilege. Some people may think it is a burden to be a member of the Lord's church. I think it's one of the greatest privileges there ever is. I'm blessed by being in the Lord's church. I have never deserved it, but I am blessed by being in the Lord's church. I want to begin at verse 42. Here in verse 42, it says, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time?" Here he's talking about somebody with responsibility, somebody who is privileged to be over somebody else or to be in charge of a certain thing. You see, the issue is, as a Christian, we have responsibility, and I'm just going to speak of it in two ways. Number one, we are sons of God. That cannot be discounted. The Bible says in Galatians, the third chapter, verses 26 and 27, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." We are sons of God, full grown, ready to receive the full rights and full benefits of Christianity, even if we've been a Christian 1 hour. We have been given the full rights, and that is a privilege. Now, according to Romans, the 8th chapter, he mentions other responsibilities and privileges, because always, just like driving is a privilege. Not everybody should be driving. And today, on the way home from worship this morning, I saw an almost brand new Nissan Maxima that met the telephone pole at a block away from my house. As Brook Forest drives north, right past where we turn off on Oak Forest, it curves around like this. She missed the first curve and took out the street sign on the southeast corner and then slid and hit the telephone pole on the northeast corner, because she was driving too fast. It was slick. She probably should have stayed home. And she's probably thinking she wished she should have stayed home. Either that or Joe probably would have said, that person needed to have left earlier. Which is true. But in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 14, "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Now, we're sons of God. Privilege. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that there is something special about Christianity. I'm not talking about the view of Christianity from the religious world. I'm talking about the view of Christianity from Jesus. That Jesus would say, "Those are my people. Those are my brothers and sisters in Christ." True Christianity, not denominational Christianity. But that is a privilege to be a son of God. Secondly, in regard to privilege, we are servants of God. Not everybody in the church can be a master. Just think of how dreadful it would be if everybody here thought they were a master, and there were no little servants to demand and command and send around and preside over. Everybody is, heap big chief. And no little Indians to go around and do what heap big chief says. Well, that's not the way Christianity is. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, Paul would write to the church and he would speak specifically of himself. I kept standing on an extension cord down here and I thought, why does that extension cord? So I figured I better knock it out of the way before I trip over it. That would not be pretty. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in speaking about himself, in speaking about the apostleship of which he was a part of, he said, so then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Wow. The Bible. We've been given it. We've been entrusted with it. And there are people that need to know how to be saved. We are the servants of the saved, trying to help people get not just so that they're saved from their sins and they get started on the journey, but they're saved from their sins and they finish the journey, because there are people that don't finish the journey. The Bible is full of people who don't finish the journey. So, secondly, responsibility. Much will be demanded. To whom much is given, much will be demanded. So if you're still there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, now look at verse 2. It says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust, that little four-letter word, which should, all four letters should be capital, next word, M-U-S-T, must prove faithful. If we have been given a trust, we must prove faithful. We must show ourselves to be what we claim to be. If we claim to be servants of God, what should we be? Servants of God. If we claim to be sons of God, what should we be? Sons of God. We should not be hypocritical. We should not be pretending. We should not be wearing a mask trying to cover up. Now, here's the truth in regard to each of us. We want to do what's right. We want to be the people of God, and we yet know that we struggle with sin from time to time. We are not perfect. And sometimes maybe we're even a little difficult to put up with. Perhaps. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, in talking about the separation of the sheep and goats, that when Jesus comes back, there's the goats that are going to go on the left-hand side and the sheep that are going to go on the right. And he says something in regard to that separation, starting at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Responsibility. It's been a few years ago, but there was a young man serving in prison, serving time, a member of the Lord's church. And there was a phone call, could you go and visit? And so I happened to mention it to Joe, and Joe said, can I go too? Which means, will you let me drive so I don't have to put up with you driving? I know what Joe means. That's Joe's secret language. So Joe and I, out way west of Hutchinson, got on the highway that day, and we drove out and we spent the day. I had never been in a maximum security prison. Robert's done it several times, haven't you, Robert? Robert Dreiling back there. I don't know about Joe, but I was scared. going into a situation. They had to do a background check. They had to have my social security number. And of course, all this before they could even say, yeah, come on out. And then once you get out there and they pat you down and you have to put everything in a box and lock it up and you go in and you can't take any money in with you. And it's like, wow, am I going to get beat up in prison? But that's not the case. And we encouraged that young man, or we tried to anyway. Never thought I would have done something like that. But you know what? There are people that need help. And this past week, we were in ladies' class in speaking about things that we could be doing. And one of the ladies said, well, you know, I just think sometimes I should be doing more. I should be doing more. And I said, well, you know, you don't have any time for doing anything more. It was one of those ladies that does about everything that she could do. I said, you don't have time for doing anything more. I know, she says, but that passage in James, the 4th chapter, in verse 17, where it says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. And she said, that passage bothers me. I don't think I'm doing enough. Well, there's only 24 hours in a day. But it seems to be that those people who are the busiest are the ones that think that applies to them. Now, honestly, we've got to be responsible for much if we've been given much. So what that means is, quite frankly, when I was down at Sunset School of Preaching, there were people who were talking about being gifted and talented. And they were arguing about the difference between the two. I could care less about the difference between the two. I just think that people ought to use what they've got. Whether they were gifted or whether they were talented, I don't care. I worked for Blue Ball Heating and Electric, putting ductwork under houses for a long time, and I was so thrilled I never saw a snake. I would have died right there. And then I worked at a pizza place, and then I worked driving around Code Candy, delivering candy all over the Cali County area for a while. And then I worked at Cessna, and I worked at Beechcraft, and I worked at other places. And I think, you know what, if God's given me the responsibility and the experience of using my hands, I ought to use that. It just makes sense to me. And I think that's one thing that God is talking about. And maybe you're a person that is skilled in a certain way. You know, there have been times of the year when you pull up to the building and you look out and you say, wow, this sure does look pretty. I wonder who did that. I know. But it's the important thing that God knows, that this person's using their talent in that way. So don't let me decorate up here. It will be a mistake. So we've got privilege, we've got responsibility, but ultimately there is one thing that we all cannot run from. It's called accountability. What did you do with what you had? What have you done with the blessings that God has given you? Now, in this chapter of Luke chapter 12, it is scary. And the truth is, we must still fear God even if we've been Christians for 50 or 60 years. We must always have a healthy fear for God. Knowing, thinking, boy, if I do something wrong, I'm going to get caught. You're absolutely right, you're going to get caught, because God knows about it. God knows everything. We can't just slip by and think that God won't notice. But in Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48, here's the reality of two different servants that are both irresponsible. It says this in verse 47. That servant who knows his master's will. This guy knows what the master wants him to do. This guy knows what the requirements are of the master who's in charge of him. He knows the master's will. And does not get ready and does not do what his master wants him to do, he will be beaten with many blows. I don't want to be beaten by any blows. I figure my dad did enough of that for me for the rest of eternity. Or my mother, or my grandmother's long earlobes and stripes from the back of my hair down to my ankles from a weeping willow branch getting whipped. She couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I was so glad that I didn't have to get whipped by that grandmother very much. But the reality is, this servant knows. He's the one that knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it. And he's the one that sins. So guess what his punishment will be? Many blows. But then there's this other servant in verse 48. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. Do you know what that means? There are people in this world that do not know what God requires of them. That do not know that Jesus said you must be born again. They don't know that Jesus said you must be born of water and the Spirit. They do not know that Jesus died to build His church. That He is the Lord and Savior of His church. They don't know that. But do you know what the Bible says? They're still going to be punished. Not as severely. They're going to be punished with few blows. But there will still be punishment. And here's why. The second half of verse 48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. Are you a person that has been given much? Do you believe that you've been given much? God already knows whether you're a much or a less person. So if you've been given much, you better be busy with much. I better be busy with much. I better use what God has given me, or else I'm in trouble. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Now turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're just about done for tonight. As Paul writes this church, there is probably not any church as good or as spiritually minded and as spiritually blessed as the church at Thessalonica. When you go back and you read these two epistles, there is not one as blessed as Thessalonica. But he says this beginning at verse 3, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more." That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Their faith is growing more and more. "And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing." That's growing too. "Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." If that letter were written to us, I would think that would be cause for celebration. Because there is the recognition, this is what God has in mind for churches to be and do. And then he says, "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering." God is just. And we say, praise God and glory, hallelujah. That's the exact same thing this last week when I knew Tristan had a job interview on Tuesday. He graduates with becoming an HVAC person. Which means heating and air conditioning and stuff and refrigeration coming up in April. But he had a job interview Tuesday and he went and he said, "Well, Dad, I think they want me." And I said, "Well, duh. Of course they want you. And not because he's my son, but because he's bright. He's intelligent. And he's like Bonnie." Amen. So then I said, "Praise God and glory, hallelujah," and sent that back to him. And he didn't know how to respond to that. Like most of us, we don't know how to respond to that except, yes, thank God. And so he'll begin a new job on March the 9th. I'm looking forward to that. They're going to train him. He's going to get his journeyman's license from them. And anyway, it's going to be good. God will bless him. But it's because he wants to use his education. He wants to use what his hands have been trained to do. And God willing, everything will work out. Now, God is just. If we just trust God, God's going to come through. Don't you believe that? I heard one. Amen. There's two. God is just. Look at verse 6. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. Folks, the glory of Jesus coming back, there's glory for us because we are sons of God and servants of God and because we've been responsible. But if there are people who are those things, sons of God and servants of God, but are not responsible, it's not going to be a pretty day. It's not going to be a pretty eternity because the Bible says there will be punishment, just as Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48 says. So then, what's the issue? Just remember, God is still looking for much more. You see, what we did yesterday is not going to carry us through tomorrow. I can't go back and say, but God, you know, I started something back in 1983 or 1984, or I served you for 10 years, 20 years ago. That's not going to get it. Because God is expecting His sons and His servants to still obey until the last day and the last breath that is taken. My preacher friend Michael Harmon and I, the preacher at Augusta, we have the same view of things. He and I can never retire. That's the way we talk. We talk to each other. We're going to preach till we die, and there may be brethren help us. But we believe that we have a responsibility, that we've got to stand up and preach and teach the truth, because as Grady knows, we're living in a world, and sometimes even in a church, that's not looking for that. So here we are. God is looking at us and saying, much more. Do you know why? Because we've been faithful with what we've been given. Much more will be expected of us. And I think that is a great encouragement, because God will not expect of you or me something that we can't do. So all we have to do is just do what God wants us to do. Do your duty. Just do your duty, whatever that means. The Lord's coming back one day. I don't know if I'll be alive on the earth or if I'll be alive in Abraham's bosom when He comes back. But I want to be ready, and we want you to be ready too. And hopefully everyone in here is ready, because we want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Can we help you tonight in one way or another? Pray for you, encourage you, put some tools in your hand and say, let's get to work. Or is there someone here that needs to come back home and say, I realize how important it is to work in my Father's house? If we can assist you tonight, or if there would even be one who was ready to be born again, to be baptized into Christ, as we stand and sing this song, please come.